This is Amarin's.
Oh, my darling,
not
three times on the ceiling
if you want me.
This is Arthur. Welcome to episode 34 of my podcast. It's Tuesday, August 27th, 2007. Today was a warm, sunny, beautiful late winter day in Auckland, and I'm back. And probably back on my normal schedule, too. I'll talk a little bit more about that and other things going on with us, starting at 1 minute 19 seconds. Then, at 3 minutes 10 seconds, I'll update a couple of the things I talked about last week. New Zealand and Australia have issues at the moment. I'll tell you about that in the extended topic at 5 minutes 58 seconds. Finally, it's on to comments at 10 minutes 35 seconds. The opening music today was, of course, by Tony Orlando and Dawn. Tony's touring New Zealand at the moment, for the first time in his career. He's 63 now, and it seems to me, doesn't look much like he used to, which actually probably isn't a bad thing. But anyway, he's been extremely gracious during his appearances on New Zealand television, and it's been a real credit to us Americans. Because, you know, you see so many spoiled, arrogant celebrities that it's really noticeable when someone acts down-to-earth and normal. Although, I still won't be going to his concerts, but that's another matter entirely. At the moment, Nigel and I are concerned about our cat, Curzon, who isn't well. I wrote in my blog about how last week we had him examined after a suspicious cough, and x-rays revealed what the vets are pretty sure is lung cancer. If so, we'll only have him for a few more weeks, a couple of months at most. Still, we haven't given up on him. Could be inflammatory lung disease. You never know. So we'll see. He goes in for a recheck next week. We'd be upset regardless if we do lose him. But coming only 3 months after we lost our dog Sive, it's been pretty difficult. In some ways, I suppose it's better that we've got time to prepare if we do need to. But that really doesn't make this any easier to deal with. Check out my blog, amarins.blogspot.com, if you want to know the details, because I really don't want to talk about this. I just wanted to let you know what's going on with us right now. In happier news, the reason I couldn't podcast on Friday was that we were meeting with an architectural designer who's going to draw up plans for a deck at the back of the house. Now, this is kind of involved because the height ranges from one story to nearly two stories due to the sloping land. So we'll need to get geotechnical reports done and all sorts of other things. But you never know, it could develop into a story for later podcasts, we'll see. Meanwhile, I put a poll on my blog to see what schedule listeners preferred. That was, of course, last week. 11 people voted, of whom 10 wanted the ordinary schedule of Tuesday and Friday, and one person wanted Tuesday only. The past couple weeks I've been doing only Tuesdays, of course. Even though this was a small percentage of listeners, it's pretty nearly unanimous, so I'll keep to the two-day schedule for now, and I'll try to let you know when I can't do that for whatever reason, as I couldn't this past week. I've also put a new poll on my blog. Who's your favorite Kiwi? The poll will close on Monday, New Zealand time, because that's assuming that I get it set correctly, and if the blogger polling function works correctly, which, of course, it doesn't always. But in any case, stop by and cast a vote. It's completely anonymous. Now, there were a few things I talked about last week that I wanted to update. First, I mentioned in passing how the meltdown on Wall Street was affecting New Zealand. Well, the New Zealand dollar has plummeted from a high of around 85 U.S. cents to just under 70 U.S. cents, and it only took about a week. Apparently the fastest drop in value in 20 years, or so they say. There are already predictions of much higher prices for imports, and most things are imported into New Zealand, of course, because it's a small island nation. So harder times may be ahead. And already the price of petrol has jumped from $1.53.9 per liter to $1.56.9 per liter. It's only 3 cents a liter, but it adds up. But, you know, Americans traveling here will find things are actually cheaper because of the dropping value of the Kiwi dollar. Because, for example, petrol again, last week it was the equivalent of $4.31 U.S. per U.S. gallon, and this week it's the equivalent of only $4.04 U.S. per U.S. gallon. So even though the price is up, because the New Zealand dollar is down, things are comparatively cheaper for Americans. So are you planning your vacation here yet? Anyway, last week I also talked about the onerous restrictions being placed on people traveling to the U.S. Apparently, some of those restrictions have hit major turbulence in Europe. It's basically because of the rule that people planning on coming to the U.S. must notify American authorities 48 hours in advance. Now, apart from the fact this will make doing business very difficult, it also effectively cancels visa-free entry that residents of many European countries have had for decades. And now many of those countries are threatening to retaliate by canceling visa-free entry for Americans. That means that if the U.S. rules stand, if Americans want to visit Europe, they may need to get a visa in advance. However, New Zealand isn't planning on doing that, so again, have you planned your vacation here yet? Anyway, speaking of international spats, there's a pretty big one going on right now between New Zealand and Australia, and that's my extended topic for today. A couple weeks back, the Australian Foreign Minister, Alexander Downer, came to New Zealand to speak to the annual conference of the National Party, which is the Conservative Party in New Zealand, and it's ideologically closest to Downer's own party in Australia. There's been an unofficial rule that government officials don't address political conferences in each other's countries. Now, what's bad about this, in this particular case, is that Downer is one of three Australian officials who manage Australia's relationship with New Zealand, and he was speaking to the party that wants to unseat the government in the next election, so it was a bit unseemly. Well, within the past week, it was revealed that Air New Zealand flew Australian troops on a charter flight to Kuwait so they could go on to Iraq. Now, Air New Zealand is 80% owned by the New Zealand government after the government bailed out failed private investors. And this government, of course, opposed the Iraq war and did not participate. Now, Air New Zealand apparently consulted officials at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and Trade, but they never told the government, neither did the ministry for that matter, and Air New Zealand officials didn't tell the minister in charge of the airline. So a huge controversy erupted, and that led Alexander Downer to publicly declare that Australia wouldn't use Air New Zealand again. But that wasn't enough. He then called in the New Zealand High Commissioner, which is it's an ambassador in Commonwealth countries. That instead of calling them ambassador, they're called High Commissioner. So he called in the New Zealand High Commissioner in Australia for a formal telling off. And the Aussie High Commission here in New Zealand contacted the foreign minister here to make sure that the Australian displeasure was registered. Now, Downer apparently took the flap over Air New Zealand as some sort of swipe at Australian support for the Iraq war, and that's just dumb. The issue was always that Air New Zealand made a commercial decision contrary to the position of the New Zealand government that never saw fit to make the government aware of what it was doing. You know, it didn't seem to occur to them that flying troops to the Iraq war that the New Zealand government opposed might possibly embarrass the government. It never had anything to do with Australia or its troops or Australia's decision to join Bush's Iraq war or anything like that. Now, New Zealand Prime Minister Helen Clark has reminded Australian government officials to stay out of New Zealand's domestic affairs, although Downer has been condescending and dismissive of New Zealand's complaints, which is actually not surprising because the government there is getting increasingly stroppy and arrogant as they're getting into the run-up to their elections. But things are going to get worse. New Zealand is taking Australia to the World Trade Organization because Australia has consistently refused to end the ban on apples imported from New Zealand. Now, the dispute has been going on for about 85 years, and Australian apple growers are claiming that there's increased risk from an apple disease called fire blight, which is absurd. Now, they say that the real issue is that New Zealand apples would be cheaper and often better quality than Australian apples. But it's certainly true that the Australian government hasn't resolved the situation because apples are grown in marginal seats, meaning that the government needs to appease the apple growers in order to get their votes. Now, the U.S. took Japan to the World Trade Organization because of a similar situation. The U.S. won, but 4 years on, it still hasn't managed to get its apples into Japan. So it's likely that even if New Zealand wins its case with the World Trade Organization, Australia still won't let New Zealand apples in. All of which just goes to show how even small things can sour relations between otherwise friendly countries that have so many connections and so much in common. Oh, and speaking of Air New Zealand, someone associated with them apparently altered the Wikipedia entry on the 1979 Mount Erebus crash, basically to make Air New Zealand come off better. But The judge who looked into the crash at the time described the executives of the day, of the Air New Zealand executives, as mounting an orchestrated litany of lies about the crash, which has become obviously a very famous phrase here in New Zealand. But it kind of looks like so many others have done with Wikipedia, you know, FBI, CIA, various companies. You know, apparently some are still orchestrating lies. And now on to the comments. First up was Spikey, who said, "Regarding the travel restrictions placed on non-US visitors, I'm certain it's going to have an increasingly negative impact. I stayed at a B&B the first couple months I was in New Zealand and met several folks from Europe who said that they now avoid traveling through or to the US for that reason. The Air New Zealand Auckland to Vancouver flight has a lot of folks happy around here because it means avoiding a US stop and the attendant hassles. On a happier note, several coworkers just went to a conference in Portland. For two of them, it was their first US visit. They loved it, entry hassles aside, and are more than likely to return. That's a pretty common theme. On average, people really like visiting the US and they like Americans. I hate it that our policies seem bent on wrecking that. Regarding the backwardness of US laws regarding gay couples, I don't have much hope there. It's an accurate reflection of a backward attitude that is too popular in the US. The laws won't change until enough of the people do. Pushing changes to the laws will help because it forces people to think that's one thing missing now. Common sense will take hold eventually, but I just don't have a lot of hope enough people are thinking clearly anytime soon." And I said, "I agree. Everyone I know who's been to America likes it and the people. It's just the current government that seems hell-bent on wrecking that. I also agree with you about common sense eventually prevailing, but I'm not sure I'll live to see it." I'm clearly not optimistic. Next up was Archer, who said, "I like the new music transitions and the time changes. Very Callbox 7-like. I voted in the poll. Crazy stuff about the info they are collecting on people who enter the country. That's nuts. I have no idea what the laws are about copying and keeping TV shows, etc. I'm sure we have them, though. It sounds as though the right-wing Christianists groups aren't nearly as much of a threat as they are here in the States. I can't imagine they would gain any control in the government. I'd keep my eye on them, though." And I said, "The truth is, I made a mistake in the opening and needed to re-record that part. So I decided to put in music transitions so that I could still use the rest of the stuff that I'd recorded. I mucked up the first transition, though, and you're right. Callbox 7 was the inspiration for listing the times, and again, that wouldn't have been possible if I hadn't had to re-record the beginning. I'm certainly keeping a watchful eye on the religious wingnuts in New Zealand. I've watched them ruin my homeland. I'm not about to stay silent and let them ruin this country, too." Yeah, last week was actually a bit of an experiment, I suppose, because I wanted to see how easy it would be to do segments with transitions between them. And then when I did that, I wanted to see if I indicated timestamps or whatever you call it, if it would actually be correct in the final file, and it turned out it was. So I kept them in. Finally, next up was John Q. Public, who said, "I've read Anthony Van Brown's book, A Life of Unlearning, and since it relates to your topic of the religious right, I wondered if it's well known in New Zealand. Obviously, Van Brown has been fighting the religious right ever since coming to terms with his gay identity, which was made even more difficult since he was a minister in a conservative church." And I said, "I haven't heard about that book, but it sounds interesting. I'll have to locate a copy. As the son and grandson of ministers, I can vouch for the fact that it is possible to overcome anti-gay Christians, though I didn't personally directly experience homophobia in the church I grew up in." And finally, it was Calvin, who said, "You seem so calm in this podcast. I have to admit that I seriously enjoyed your dry quips throughout. I like how balanced and careful the production of this podcast seemed. I have to agree that the religious right must be vigilantly watched. Hope that all is well with the cat. We'll read up soon." And I said, "I feel so bad. With everything going on, I haven't had a chance to comment on your latest cast yet." Then here you are. This episode, talking about the one I just did, of course, was the most thoroughly scripted podcast I've done yet. Most of the time, I just have a topic and start recording. No notes, no outline, nothing. This episode was completely mapped out, including links all prepared for the show notes, all of which was possible because I had some extra time due to skipping Friday. That may account for the calmness. I didn't have to worry about forgetting anything. And thanks for the cat wishes. And thanks for the comments, everyone. I do appreciate each and every one. by all means, feel free to leave a comment if you like. Sort of related to comments, but only indirectly, was over at podcastsoup.net, and Mike Hipp made a point that I thought was really good, and if I'd read it earlier, I probably would have posted a comment over there. But since I didn't, I'll read it here. He said, "Personally, I have seen very few cases where a Christian didn't fully support Christianists. Smearing all Christians because of the political activities of a few political extremists seems like a dandy idea to me. Think about it. If it came down to brass tacks, on which side would those Christians fall, the Christianist side or the secular side?" And of course, it's referring to me distinguishing between Christians and their political counterparts, Christianists. Now, when you talk about right-wing Christians, I completely agree with Mike. But there are moderate and liberal Christians who don't back the extremist political agenda. Now, my complaint is that the more rational Christians are often just too chicken shit to call the fundies on their game and stand up and say, "You don't speak for me, you don't speak for all Christians." If more what used to be called mainstream Christians did that, the fundamentalists wouldn't have nearly the power they do. But mainstream Christians remain silent, which means, in my opinion, that it's fair game to consider that they must be fundamentalist, as Mike is sort of suggesting, or they'd say differently. But that's my opinion. Actually, on that same edition of podcastsoup.net, Mike was talking about Archer Radio number 510, and he says here, "Archer was playing with the new goodies from Steve Jobs." Then his comment is, "I tuned out at this time, so you're going to have to go and listen to find out what all the cool things that Jobs is allowing you to do." And he goes on, "Apparently iMovie is harder to use than it used to be, even though it's more useful. Blah, blah, blah. Mac, Steve Jobs, iMac, iMovie, iToaster, iFish Tank, iToilet Paper, blah, blah, blah." And this is why we love Mike so. But to give Mike a little more ammunition, I've just yesterday received my new iMac. And I'm still getting used to it. I'm playing around with GarageBand, though I haven't actually used it for anything yet. I'm recording this podcast with Audacity for Mac because I've been using Audacity on the PC ever since I started, and I figured I'd better stick with what I know, what I know how to use and what I know works, and I'll eventually just try other things. I've been playing around a little bit with music, just taking the Apple loops and mixing them together to see what comes of it. Who knows, I might eventually use something like that. But it's funny, because trying out these various Apple loops to see what they sounded like, I felt like I was playing a special edition of Little Fatty Cast Match the Podcaster, because I'd play a little loop and go, "Oh, that's from such and such podcast. Oh, that's from that podcast." But I won't mention names, because they may not want people to know that they're using Apple loops as their theme music and whatever. Although I seem to recall that a few of those were in the Little Fatty Cast itself, but I may be mistaken. Anyway, that's actually it for this week. It's just a short edition. I just wanted to catch up on things and let you know what's going on. Please feel free to leave a comment on my blog, amrins.blogspot.com, or send an email to me at amrins@yahoo.com. And also, cast your vote for your favorite kiwi on my poll and my blog, amrins.blogspot.com. And that's it for this abbreviated Tuesday edition. I'll be back on Friday with a more normal one, I hope. Until then, have a great week. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.